But there are also other issues going on. There are other things that we need to be aware of. And today the preaching will center around that. Today I'm reading from the book of Galatians, Paul's letter to the church at Galatia, chapter 6, verses 7 through 10. These are words with which you should be familiar, but if you're not, you ought to have them underlined, or you go ahead and underline them in your Bible. Please stand as we hear the word of the living God. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for you reap whatever you sow. If you sow to your own flesh, you will reap corruption from the flesh. But if you sow to the Spirit, you will reap eternal life from the Spirit. So let us not grow weary in doing what is right, for we will reap at harvest time if we do not give up. So then, whenever you have an opportunity, let us work for the good of all, and especially those of the family of faith. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Your greatest lessons in life about character and about not quitting are not going to be taught by people who have not had to struggle. Because character is not who you are when life goes your way. Character is who you are when the bottom falls out. Graduating from the University of Adversity is one of the highest and most useful educations you're ever going to get. I think it was Mark Twain who said, I've never allowed my schooling to get in the way of my education. How many of you in the room realize there's a lot of education beyond the schoolhouse? Yeah. Today I want to talk to you about keeping on, keeping on. And the reason I want to talk to you about that is because life can be very hard. And right now, these days, it is for lots and lots of people. Very hard. From out of nowhere, life can land a haymaker blow to you. And it can knock the spiritual wind out of you from out of nowhere. Life can be going along fine, and one call, one meeting, one incident, one diagnosis, and everything can change. Adversity. Someone has said, God doesn't care about your cash, your cars, or your clothes, but he does care about your character. The scar tissue of adversity can become the muscle of character if we let it. The passage of Scripture today is what we call an if-then passage. If you will do this, then I will. If you do not give up, then you will reap the harvest. That's a promise. It's a promise from God that if we will continue to do the right thing, even when we don't feel like it, if we will continue to live the right way, if, then we will reap a harvest. If, then. So my subject this morning, I'm not a very creative type guy, so I just came up with just blech, what it is. My subject today is don't give up. Because lots and lots of people today are contemplating that. There are three ideas, very simple ideas, that I want to give you this. Actually, there are only three words that I want to lift out to you this morning. Three very simple words. But this issue is bothering me a lot. So we got to talk about it, I think. The first word I want to lift out to you this morning is the word effort. Make an effort. In other words, get started. Most of the time, the great challenges come not just in identifying the problem, but by actually taking the first step. You can see the problem till the cows come home. But taking that first step, correcting it, and for you, that might be the need to start an exercise program. It might be the need to begin walking on a regular basis. It may be eliminating a destructive habit that's had a hold on you for far too long. It may be coming to grips with a relationship that's causing you grief. There are people in your life sometimes who will cause you grief. It may be that when you look at the connections you have in your life, there's someone or someones that aren't really healthy for you. How many of you realize in the room there can be toxic people in your life? In your spiritual life, that might mean getting involved in some Bible study. Or committing to some devotional time. It may be that you need to find a place and you need to learn to get away and pray. Because if you're waiting on there to be a convenient time for you to do this, stop. There's never going to be a convenient time. You have to simply get started. Maybe that you need to look for a place in the church because there are lots and lots of outside spectators. But the church needs people with their sleeves rolled up, involved. Whatever it is, whatever the mountain might be, you got to start with an effort. What is that for you today? What's the big, big, big thing that you've been trying to not ignore or pray that it goes away or hide in your head in the sand or whatever you want to use? What is there in your life where you need to begin the first step? Because most of the time, we procrastinate. Maybe you don't. I do. We put it off. I want to share a little poem with you. You may have heard it, but it drives the truth home pretty well. It goes like this. It was spring, but it was summer I wanted, the warm days and great outdoors. It was summer, but it was fall I wanted, the colorful leaves and the cool, crisp air like today. It was fall, but then it was winter I wanted, the beautiful snow, the joy of the holiday season. It was winter, but it was spring I wanted, the warmth and the blossoming of nature. I was a child, but it was adulthood I wanted, the freedom and the respect. I was 20, but it was 30 I wanted, to be a little more mature and sophisticated. I was middle-aged, but then I wanted 20 because it was youthful and free. I was retired, but it was middle age I wanted, the presence of mind and the importance to at least someone. Suddenly my life was over, my life was gone, my life was finished, and somehow, I never got what I wanted. Let that marinate in you for a little bit. It ought to make you stop and think. We got to live life now. You cannot postpone what the scripture calls doing good. Make the effort. Take the first step. So I'll ask the question again. Where in your life is there something where you need to get started? Make the effort. Effort. Here's the second word. Cool word. We don't say it. We use it a lot for lots of things, but it's a great word. Enthusiasm. I find that in my own life, and again, I observe in the lives of other people, that if I can't maintain my level of enthusiasm and engagement, even if what I'm doing is good, even if it's God's work, I get tired and fatigued, and eventually, I want to quit. So let me ask you about your job. Is it just become a drudgery? You just don't feel much for it anymore. It may be your enthusiasm for life. You do know there's a difference between living and existing, right? You do know that there are people in this world who just go through the motions. How about it? Listen very carefully to what I'm about to tell you. I have never known anyone who just stumbled into a positive life trajectory change. I'm going to say that again. I have never known anyone who just stumbled into a positive life trajectory change. If you're going to have peace in your life, if you're going to have some joy, you're probably not going to just stumble into it. Trajectory change takes place when you choose enthusiasm. It's not enough just to persist in things. Someone once said, persistence is like wrestling a gorilla. You don't give up when you get tired. You give up when the gorilla gets tired. Enthusiasm, keeping on, keeping on. Do you know the definition of the word enthusiasm? It comes from two Greek words, en, E-N, which means in or within, and theos, enthusiasm, enthusiasm. Theos, which means God. Enthusiasm literally means within God. Or to say it another way, God within. When God's Holy Spirit is present in your life, it can help the fire, the meaning, the enthusiasm stay alive. Enthusiasm. Now look, I'm not trying to be idealistic here. I know better than that. I know sometimes you just walk around with cement boots on. I know some days are just really, really tough. But I'm talking about looking at it from the 10,000 feet view. Heard another great little poem the other day. I want to share it with you. It goes like this. Two frogs fell into a can of cream, or so it's been told. The sides of the can were shiny and steep. The cream was deep and cold. Oh, what's the use, said number one. It's fate. There is no help around. Goodbye, cruel world. Goodbye, my friends. And weeping, number one drowned. But the second frog, made of sterner stuff, frog paddled in surprise. And all the while he wiped his face and dried his creamy eyes. I'll swim a while at least, he said, or so I've heard it, he said. It wouldn't help the world if one more frog were dead. An hour or two, he kicked and swam and kicked and swam. Not once did he stop to mutter, but kicked and swam and swam and kicked and hopped out via butter. Make an effort in your life. Decide to make an effort. and try to rekindle a fire, enthusiasm. Here's the third word. It's an important word. It's the word endurance. It's that old saying, when you come to the end of your rope, tie a knot and hang on. Anybody ever been there? Don't quit. In preparation for this message this week, I was reflecting back over the course of my career, and I have held several funerals for victims of suicide. And as I thought about those persons, a couple of thoughts clarified in my mind. The first one was, every single one of them was a remarkable and beautiful human being. But they also shared one more thing in common, other than the fact that they were beautiful. The other thing they shared in common was that for whatever reason, they decided to give up. They made a permanent decision to fix a temporary problem. And hearts were broken, and lives were shattered and devastated. I've been kind of kicking around the edges in the message this morning, so I'm just going to go down into the weeds for a minute. I don't have a clue what it might be for you. I don't. I really don't. But I want to say to you, don't quit. Don't give up. Choose Christ. Put Him on the altar of your life, and you will never regret it as long as you live. Because it's true. It's not a matter of if, but when. Life will land a haymaker blow to you. It is not a matter of if, it is when. And friends, when those moments happen, when something comes out of left field at you and just stops you on a dime, you need to make doggone sure of where you are anchored. Choose Christ. Put Him on the altar of your life. And I know that sounds like something a preacher would say, right? That's something a preacher would say. But I am telling you this. I have seen way too many people who, when that happened, just fell to pieces. What's that old hymn we used to sing? On Christ the solid rock I stand. Does anybody in the room remember that? On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. These days, I'm not trying to be a gloomy Gus. I really promise I'm not. These days can be really tough. And you, well, not you, but I, maybe you and I never know what a person who walks through these doors is going through, do we? Because you can clean up the outside, you can look all vogue on the outside, but you can be all vague on the inside. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. We don't know what people are facing. All I can do is commend the solid rock to you. That's all I can do. All I can do is say to you that when those moments come, take his hand and he will walk with you through it, whatever it is. He will walk with you through it. You are not by yourself. On July the 4th, 1952, now you figure that out, right? A long time ago, on July the 4th, 1952, a lady by the name of Florence Chadwick stepped into the water off Catalina Island. She was going to swim the channel between the island and the coast. She was very, very capable of doing it. She was the most famous swimmer in the world at the time, any of you who know your history. She had already swum the English Channel in both directions, becoming the first woman to ever do that. But when she stepped into the water, it was numbing cold. It was shark infested. The boats that accompanied her had to use rifle fire several times to keep the sharks away. She swam for 15 hours. I said, she swam for 15 hours. But the fog was socked in the entire time. And after those 15 hours in the water, she asked to be taken out. And her trainer in the boat said, "It's not much further. Hang on. Don't hang on." But when she looked up, all she could see was the fog. And so she got out of the water. Later on the shore, she said to the reporters, "I'm not excusing myself, but if I could have only seen the land, I'd have made it." Incidentally, she was less than a mile away from the land. Almost there. Almost there. What's my point in telling you this? It wasn't the cold. It wasn't the sharks. It wasn't even the exhaustion that caused her to be defeated. It was the terrible fog. And when the fog closes in around you and me, and there will be times when it does, you got to have something to call on to get you through the fog. To know Christ, to know that he has won the victory already at the cross, that God has inspired us and infused us with divine energy. And when you go through it, you do not go through it alone. I just really want you to hear that today. I just really want you to know that whatever it is, I invite you to take the hand of God and say, "Lord, let's go through this." Because guess what? Sometimes the only way out is through. You can't go around it. You can't run back from it. Sometimes the only way out is through. Here's perhaps a little thought that might be helpful to you. I'm almost done. Never forget in the dark what you learned in the light. In the light, you learn that God was faithful. I want you to know he's faithful in the dark too. Can anybody say amen? That's a good place. Oh, that was weak. In the light, you were told that God would give you strength and grace to get through things. In the dark, God will still do the same thing. Never forget in the dark what you learned in the light. When things were going well, and you learned things, I'm just asking you that when the darkness comes, don't forget those things. By the way, two months after her failure, Florence Chadwick walked off the beach, that very same beach, into that same numbing cold water, that same shark-infested channel, and she swam the distance. 2 months later, she swam the distance, and she set a new world record in the process because she could see the goal. It wasn't the fog that any longer defined her. So many people struggle with seeing the fog. So many people struggle with wanting to give up. So many people struggle with it, guys. I'm just nudging you today to remind you that in the fog, in the dark, the same one that was with you in the light is with you in the dark. You've heard me say a couple of times that I grew up in a Methodist home. Methodism is kind of like deep in my DNA. Uncle Grant and Susan, they'll tell you that. But I grew up going to Wednesday night prayer meetings and Sunday morning and Sunday evening, and if you didn't go to church, you better be close to death. And I'd be doggone, if you didn't go to church on Sunday morning, you were not going to suddenly get healed at 12:05 and feel good and ready to go out. And that wasn't the way it worked. But on Sunday morning, Sunday evening, Wednesday, we'd go to church. And we'd sing those old hymns. I've told you about that. One of my favorites was page 62, by the way, in the Cokesbury hymnal. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. I hope you have an anchor. I hope you have a rock. I just want you to know, in the darkness, God is still God. Do you believe that? I hope so. Pray with me for a second. Father, thank you for today. And thank you for reminding us that when we are dealing with something tough, when it seems like there's a mountain, nudge us. Challenge us, convict us, do whatever is necessary, oh God, to help us get started, to help us make an effort to get started. The journey of 1,000 miles begins with the first step. And Lord, we just pray that you would infuse us, because so many people are just going through the motions. We pray that you would infuse us again with the divine fire of your Holy Spirit. And give us, oh God, the strength to endure and to keep on keeping on. Never forget in the darkness what you learned in the light. It's a good word for us today. In the name of Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen.